Welcome to episode 42 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hope you've been doing great out there. It's been a few weeks since my last podcast. I want to give you an update on what I'm doing. I've got an exciting announcement today. Austin today, raining a few days. Haven't been doing too much training lately. Had an injured foot. I've been nursing for a few weeks. Doctor says nothing's wrong with it, but giving it some rest. And then also I got sick. I didn't get COVID, but my whole family got sick. I think some bug or virus. Thankfully, we didn't have COVID, but we got it from the school, my kid's school. Exciting news I want to tell everyone about today is I'm started a YouTube channel. I started a few weeks ago. The name of the channel is Mile 62. It's you can search by Mile 62 or Mile 62 Podcast. It'll come up. I've started off by loading up all 40-plus podcasts of the past. So they're a static image and you can listen to the podcast on YouTube. I've started uploading a few videos that I've been doing and then also some short videos, which YouTube calls shorts. So those are 60 seconds or less. But my idea is that I want to start doing more trail videos and vlogs. If you watch Seth Damore on YouTube, he focuses on road running, but that's kind of my idea. It won't be a daily vlog, but when I go out biking or running, I plan to do a lot of videos, and I've already started doing that. I recently purchased a new GoPro Hero 9. I'm excited about that and a bunch of accessories. So I'm still learning how to use it and I'm getting better on the editing, but I'm excited. It'll add another facet of the Mile 62 program where you guys can listen to podcasts on YouTube or you can watch videos. And in the future, my vlogs will also become like podcast, daily podcast. I still will be doing podcasts and posting them on Anchor and Apple Podcasts, just like I've always been doing. But I really am going to push my YouTube channel. I'm excited about it. It's a hobby. I'm learning how to do the videos. I've also been looking at drones. Know some runners that have got the new Skydio 2 drone. That's a drone that basically, it's autonomous. It will follow you when you're running or biking. They're really, really cool technology out there. DJI's got one too. I've been looking at drones, you know, trying to figure out where I could fly them and where I couldn't fly them because they're getting more strict on flying drones because of the FAA rules. But some really neat technology out there. So, you know, filming myself with a GoPro and you know, showing the terrain that I'm running and talking as I'm going and then doing shorts, you know, fun little videos under 60 seconds, you know, showing, I did one a few days ago on how to do a runner's knot, for example. So I'm going to be doing videos on different things I've learned over the years and trail running, you know, which may help others, and then also do some fun videos, short and long. I did a biking video that was about 15 minutes long, and I talked the whole way through. That was a mountain bike video. So it's going to be exciting, and appreciate it. If you are a user of YouTube, please visit my channel and check it out and subscribe if it's convenient for you. You know, when you're starting out a YouTube channel, it's tough trying to get people to. The way the algorithm works, you need to get traction. You need people to like your videos and also subscribe. So I know it's going to take a few years to really get going, but I've got some subscribers now and need more of my friends to, you know, check it out. So if you like my podcast and you follow me, please check it out. It's Mile 62 on YouTube. Other things been going on. A few weeks ago, I did the Hell's Hills 50K. It's a bit of a race recap. That's the first time I've ever done that trail race. It's in Smithville, Texas, which is near Bastrop. And if you're not familiar with Texas, that's kind of near Austin. It takes place on Rocky Hill Ranch, which is it's basically a mountain bike course. It's all single track, and there are a lot of race venues in Texas, and I think this is one of the best well-kept single track race courses in Texas. They just do an awesome job. To give you an example, you know, a lot of 50Ks, 100Ks, when you run them, there'll be a lot of jeep roads, farm roads with single track. This course is almost all single track, and it's smooth single track. They keep it really well kept for the mountain bikers. There are some routes going across the trail here and there, actually quite a few, but there's no stumps. They take care of them all. I didn't see one stump on the whole course. And I did take one bad fall on the first loop, but I tripped on a root. I just wasn't paying attention, and I went down pretty hard. I scraped up my knee, and my knee hit a rock. And surprising enough, I mean, I hit really hard too, and I didn't have any swelling or anything. I mean, it kind of stunned me for a few minutes. I walked a little bit, but then I was able to continue. I was only a few miles from the end of the first loop. Each loop was 25K. So I was probably 5K from the finish of the first loop, and continued on. This course didn't have many aid stations. You know, that's been kind of a, you know, because of COVID this last year, we're all used to that. So they had two aid stations, the start and then one in the middle, that were kind of full service. They were pretty good, actually. But then they had a bunch of small aid stations with just bottles of water, so you had to help yourself. Well, the challenge there is I wasn't using a pack. I was using bottles. So if you have two bottles, one in each hand, and then you try to fill a bottle, you know, it takes a little extra time. Because you got to put one bottle down, and you're trying to fill a bottle with a bottle. A bit challenging, but I think people with the hydration packs probably had more of a trouble, because, you know, you really need two hands to hold open a hydration pack, and then you had to fill it up with a bottle with no one helping you. It can be a bit challenging. But the weather was great. It was probably in the 60s. It looked like it wanted to rain. The first lap, no rain. The second lap, it rained quite a bit. But it didn't rain enough to get muddy. So I think I was very fortunate. I think the weather was fine. It didn't get muddy, so, you know, light rain when you're running, trail running is great. And the sun was out, but this whole course, like I said, great single track, a lot of tree canopy, most of the course, not much sun exposure. So it's a great place. Now, having said that, the name of the race is Hell's Hills. The reason they name it that is because it's tough. And we're not talking really big couple hundred feet climbs, you know, hills or small mountains, you might want to say. These are small hills. The whole course is constant rollers. So you're going up 10 feet, 15 feet, then you're going down, going up, down. But, so it's not real tough on you. I mean, they're not going to make the hills too bad because this is a mountain bike course. But it's not like you're able to just sprint the downhills, because there's tree roots, and this time of year there's leaves on the ground, so you don't really know what it is. There are quite a bit of areas where you could get moving on the downhills, but there are a lot of areas on the downhills you just had to be real careful. And I think on the second lap I ran the downhills faster because I was familiar with the course. But can't say enough good things about the course. Really nice facilities, the start and finish, good location. It's only about an hour and a half from where I live. And couldn't say enough. One thing I did do different, I didn't wear my Olympus 4s. I used my new Temp 2s, and comfortable shoe, but I keep wanting to go back to Temps. I wore the original version of Temps about 2 years ago, loved them. And then they changed the shoe, and negatively changed the shoe, where it just didn't have enough padding, started squeaking. I think that was like version 1.5. And then they came out with the Tempe 2s, and I tried them, and I like them. They're comfortable. This time I used them, and no squeaking. They have a little bit more padding than the Lone Peaks. And I thought it'd be perfect for the 50K. Excuse me. Well, they were perfect for the 50K, but I think, oh, I shouldn't say perfect. They were good. I wish I had a little more padding because of the constant up and down. I think my Olympus 4s would have done me a better job. And I also had a little bit heel slippage. I had a hot spot on my right foot, and I haven't had that happen in over a year, maybe even longer with shoes, because I wear toe socks, Exoskin toe socks, and they protect me from blisters. And I was really surprised, and I think it's something to do with the heel guard on the Tempe 2s. Just didn't fit up properly. I had to stop and tighten my shoes a couple times, and then one time I made them too tight. I was able to keep going and get through it, but I don't know. Jury's still out on the temps. I don't know. I just keep hoping that they will improve it enough where I can use that shoe again. But they made some improvement, but it's still not like the original temp. So my go-to shoe for ultra is definitely the Olympus 4. I think it's a great shoe. It's just a heavy shoe, and I thought maybe on a 50K. Usually I'm running 100K or 100 milers, usually around the 100K range. I thought for 50K I might be able to get away with it, but I think I would have done better if I'd used my Olympus 4s. The last few miles of this course is really hardcore. You know, in mountain biking, they have category 1, 2, and 3 hills and berms. This had them all. It had some hills where it was almost hard to try to go up them. You almost had to use your hands. And because it rained during the second lap, and these hills are right towards the end, the last 5K, it was like a clay, and the clay got wet. It was pretty challenging. I kind of went around them and threw some leaves and brush and stuff. I was a bit nervous doing that because it's snake time of year, but I think because I was kind of in the middle of the pack, I think a lot of people scared the snakes away already. But I did fine. It was good fun. Highly suggest that course. That's the Rocky Hill Ranch, Hell's Hill 50K. So it's every early April every year. It's put on by Tejas Trails in Texas. Highly recommend it. Starting to train for my, because I got over the illness and foot's feeling better. I've been biking some this year. So starting to train for the Spider Mountain. The Spider Mountain is May 15th, that weekend. So it's in a couple weekends. It's in Burnett, which is very close to where I live. Really looking forward to it. That's another one I haven't done before. It's another mountain bike course, but this one is a mountain bike hill, basically. And it's so steep that they've got a ski lift. So there's never any skiing there. There's no snow there. But the mountain bikers use the ski lift to get to the top of the hill, and they ride it down. Well, we're gonna be able to race on that course at night. And I think we can use the ski lift one time, and then the rest of the night we must go up ourselves and come down ourselves. But they have like 3 hour, 6 hour, 9 hour, 12 hour. So I'm doing the 12 hour. So that'll be from 6 p.m. Saturday night to, you know, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. I think it's going to be good fun. The weather should be good at night, and I love night racing. And this is going to be kind of a short course up the hill and back. So there'll be some chatting with other people, be some camaraderie. I think it'll be pretty cool. Listen to, you know, how do you manage fear? Tell you a little bit about how I manage fear. You know, there's fear out in trail runs. I was listening to one guy named Tony Blanner. He has the No Fear podcast. And I was listening to him talk on another podcast called Seven Has His CrossFit. I like to watch the CrossFit podcast, and I do some of the CrossFit workouts. And like I mentioned before, I've got one of those Rogue Echo bikes in my garage gym. I think CrossFit workouts are great. I would never want to do CrossFit because some of the exercise I can't do, but I think they're great cross training, just like rucking and CrossFit and weightlifting. It's great cross training for trail running. But this guy was talking about, he teaches people fear management, and he's ex-military, and, you know, a lot of history teaching this. And he went down to the paratrooper school in, I think it's Georgia, and is talking to these guys how to manage fear. And he gave them the presentation, and then one of the guys said, well, why don't you go for a jump with us? And he says, well, I don't do that kind of thing. And the paratrooper said, I thought you're no fear, Superman. And he says, well, I manage my fear. I don't like to jump, so I don't jump. That's how I manage my fear. I thought it was kind of a weird answer, but it kind of makes sense. But when you're out in a trail run, there's a lot of things that we have to endure. And I used to be scared of snakes, especially rattlesnakes. I've been startled by a bunch of snakes, but rattlesnakes. When I first started trail running, I was trail running in California, and there are rattlesnakes everywhere. And one of the reasons they do is because they don't kill them. Colorado and California, you know, they're protected. So you're going to see a lot of rattlesnakes when you're out on trail run. In Texas, we don't see them very much. I mean, probably originally there was probably more rattlesnakes in Texas than in California and Colorado, but in Texas they kill them. So a lot of these trail runs are on private ranches. And on the private ranches, I'm almost never seen a snake. I think they just take care of them, and they don't want, God forbid, somebody get bit. You know, that'd be bad for their business. But I have seen some, especially on some of the state park race courses. And I remember the first time I saw one, I got a little bit spooked. And but after a couple of couple engagements with rattlesnakes, I start to realize, you know, they're scared of us as we're scared of them. I mean, they usually just, you know, take off across the trail and don't even stop. That's happened to me in many cases. And I remember one case where it was a Possum Kingdom 69 miler. That race is actually coming up pretty soon. I saw about a 6-foot rattlesnake crossing the road, and I had plenty of, it was a Jeep road, I had plenty of room to go around him in front, but I was so scared that he was going to race up to me and strike me. But I had stunned him with my lights. I had two lights, and I learned in snake training that a rattlesnake really can't strike you unless it's coiled up, and he was laid out straight as an arrow. It's glowing like an Excalibur sword in the night. I mean, with my lights shining on him, it's like somebody wanted us to know that he was there. Anyways, another guy came up and said, "Man, you're right. He can't strike you. Let's just go around in front of him." Sure enough, we went around in front of him. He didn't do anything. You know, so you got to learn to manage your fear. And the way I do with animals and stakes and like that at night, I just carry one hiking pole with me, because sometimes I get beat up where I need a hiking pole. But to be honest, I carry that hiking pole. I don't extend it. I keep it in my hand. You know, I've gotten really close to packs of coyotes, and one time I actually had it extended, and I was running through, I told the story before on a previous podcast, I was running through a riverbed and a bat attacked me. I think my light shined, it was at night, my light shined at the bat and it spooked him. And so he was hovering right in front of me like he wanted to attack me. I swung my hiking pole at him, and I think his radar picked it up and he took off. But you know, it's kind of my that's how I manage fear at night. When I got my hiking pole, I am not scared of nothing. So you got to come up with ways to manage your fear, because I know there are a lot of people that do have fear. I remember one time I was in a night race, the Captain Carl's race, and some lady was freaking out. She didn't want to run at night by herself. And I was thinking to myself, well, this is only a night race. There's no light in the race. So I ran with her for a while. But I told her she needs to find some way to manage her fear. You know, and you know, I do it with my hiking pole. I also use two lights. Some people say, why do you use two lights? You're like a freight train going through the forest. Well, I want to make sure I can see everything, because I've tripped over roots, rocks. I've seen snakes. I've seen big Russian boar, or what, some kind of boar. I don't know what it was. I saw a boar so big one time, I only saw its silhouette running through the brush, but it sounded like Bigfoot running through the forest. So, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me when I have my hiking pole, because, well, maybe it wouldn't do much for me, but, you know, I just, my attitude changes. So I think when you're out on the trail, you have to find a way to manage your fear. So if you're fearful, especially of night running, you know, the more you do it, the better you get at it, you know. And if you need more lighting, if you need a pacer, or if you want to carry a hiking pole, that's what I do. I don't carry both of my hiking poles unless it's like usually during the end of a 100-miler, the last 20 miles, if they allow hiking poles, which most races do, only a few races like Javelina 100 and some out in Arizona don't allow you to do that. But I always carry my hiking poles and my pack during my last 20 miles. So if I get so beat up I can't move very fast, I pull out my hiking poles, and it helps me a lot. And I work out on a ski ERG several times per week. You know, that's like Nordic skiing. So my muscles are really getting strong for hiking with hiking poles. At least that's my plan. They're getting better and better. So if it's 100-mile, I carry both of them for the last 20 miles. But most time I'm running 100K. So usually on the second lap when I'm in the dark, I carry one hiking pole. And I'll usually carry a flashlight in one hand. And then I've got a headlight, I got a headlamp, or my waist light. So I've got two lights, a hiking pole, and that's all I need. I can see everything, and if something gets too close to me, I have my hiking pole, then I have no fear. So find out what works for you, and those are a couple of options, like I said, extra lighting, hiking pole, pacer if you need one. But do what you can. I mean, don't be, you have to learn to manage your fear. But that's my advice of the day. Some sad news, the same weekend of Hells Hills 50K Trail Racing Over Texas had a race at Seven Isle Ranch, which we all know and love. That's where Habanero is, and that's where Jackalope Jam is. Well, Rob Goen had to move the Brazos Bend 50 from Houston to 7IL because of COVID. They just wouldn't let him do it in Needleville, that park in near Houston. But anyways, he had a good turnout, and unfortunately someone passed away. A gentleman by the name of Ted Brown had a heart attack around mile two. For everyone that races out there, you know that long stretch or that big tree. It's called the yellow course, along that long fence line. He had a heart attack around mile two, and unfortunately didn't make it. So there was a couple of memorial emails that went out that Rob sent out. I mean, the guys, Rob Goen's one of the nicest men on the planet. Sent out a really nice email about Ted and his family and how to contribute if you can. But it was a really sad thing to hear. But, you know, in road racing and trail racing, that does happen sometimes. So you got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure you have insurance, cover your family, you know, because in all kinds of sports, some things can go wrong. Yeah. So you got to enjoy life every day. And that's what we got to do. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, you know, and you know, my condolences to his family, and things move on. I think they're going to put some memorial sign near that big tree on the course, so for us running Habanero, we'll see that, so we can say a prayer for him. What else? I think that's it for this podcast. I'm excited about the race season coming up. You know, I've got Spider Mountain, and I think I'm going to go out to the Possum Kingdom the next weekend. I'm not racing out there, but I might do some pacing of my brother or help at an aid station. So look for me out there. I might be the guy with the GoPro. You seen these guys at, you know, like Jamil with Aryavaipa chasing the pros around? Well, I don't care about the pros. I might be chasing mid-packers around filming them. So I'm excited. I'm getting better with it, and I've got all kinds of selfie sticks and race sticks. I've got a chest strap, and man, I got all the accessories to go with them. So I'm learning how to do it. I just got a new book on it. So the more times I've done it, I'm learning every time. So be patient with me. My editing is going to get better. But I'm excited. So you might see me out at the Possum Kingdom race, either pacing or helping out. And then Captain Crawl's race series is going on through the summer. There's four night races, 30K and 60K. That's trail racing over Texas. I plan to do at least three of them. The last one is very close to Habanero, which I'm racing with trail racing over Texas. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do that one or not. Well, why am I racing so much in the summer? It's because I'm trying to get that 400-mile buckle. Right now I'm in second place in Texas behind one other gentleman that's just slightly ahead of me. And I'm at like 270 miles already for the year. I think we're all crazy running so much. I figured out I've already raced 8 marathons this year, and it's only April. If I just break out all the miles from my hundreds and 100Ks and 50Ks. But when you think about it in marathons, it really sounds a lot. But anyways, I'm going to get that 400-mile buckle, and hopefully I can get it by early fall, because most of my races starting in August for the rest of the year are with trail racing over Texas. And I also got another exciting news. I got into Arkansas Traveler. Never can say it correctly. That's a hard race to get into. It's only about 250 people per year. But I jumped into the registration right as it opened, and I think I was like number 52 or something like that. And my younger brother is also the Ultra Trucker, as we call him, Sam, is also in that race. So that's going to be exciting. That's a very tough race. It's an out and back 50 miles going through the Ozarks. It's a real tough race, but I'll be prepared. So I guess if you want to call any of my races this year my A race, it's definitely going to be the Arkansas Traveler, because that's going to be the toughest one. I'm also doing the Habanero 100 miler. I've raced a lot out at 7IL, over 300 miles worth of racing at 7IL. I've done the 50K and the 100K, and I've done the Jalapeno 100 mile. That's the same course as Habanero, but that's in November, so it was cool. So it was not that hard, not as hard, but Habanero is in the middle of August, so it's almost 100 degrees the whole race. So that's going to be a tough race. So in August, I've got Habanero. Then in October, I have Arkansas Traveler. And then in December, I have Brazos Bend 100 in Houston. So exciting year ahead of me. And I hope to see y'all out on the trails. And if you want to collaborate on a podcast or be on a podcast, is what I mean. And I'd love to chat with you. If you got some great trail footage when you're out, something neat, send it over to me. I'd like to post it on my YouTube channel. I can edit it and, you know, put it on my YouTube channel. Because my YouTube channel is for sharing, you know. What's it like to race this race, you know. I'm going to have trail footage from my training runs, my races. So if you're going to do a race, it's going to be a good chance that one of my videos shows what it's going to be like, especially if you live in the South. I plan to start racing in like Georgia, Tennessee as well, and you know, next year. So I'm excited about it. But if you'd like to join me on a podcast, or you've got some trail footage you'd like to send to me that we can put on my YouTube channel, send me an email. It's runnerrwe@gmail.com. You also can find me on Instagram. It's runnerrwe. So easy to find me there. But wish everyone a great week, and enjoy your training, and hope to see you out on the trail soon. Bye-bye.